Hi, I'm Gary DeHart. Welcome to another episode of Accounting Insiders. And today I am joined by Veronica Wasik. I got it right?
Yes,
I've only tried it 50 times and it's a super easy name. But so we're going to talk about the art of confidently saying no and winning premium clients.
Yes.
I love a lot of things about that. So we're going to break that one open pretty good. Before we do, tell us about your business currently. Actually, even a little bit. How'd you get into this business? And then tell us what you're doing now, and then we'll talk about moving forward.
Sure, absolutely. So I started my business in 2010. Really was a victim of the Great Recession.
Okay.
And I lost two jobs as a result of the economy and really felt like I really had nothing left to lose but to start my own business, and sort of floundered for the first 6 months really trying to find what I was going to do because nobody understood. Okay, you're a CPA, but you don't do taxes, so what do you do? And I couldn't explain. And I found QuickBooks.
Okay.
And became an expert in QuickBooks, and have then grown my business now to having four employees that I work with. And in 2019, we changed our niche to e-commerce, and then later to working with specifically with Shopify sellers.
Okay.
And has been very successful. So that's the service side of my business.
Okay.
And when my business struggled around 2018, I was trying to scale my business. So it struggled for a bit. I started to look at how can I bring more revenue into the business that's not just tied to having clients. And that's when the idea of doing online courses came up. And as a result of just being active in social media, having started my own Facebook group, the community in my Facebook group started asking for training. And as a result, I started doing online courses for them. And so that has also been successful. As a result, I started a separate business just for the online training.
Okay. And so pardon the noise in the background. We are at Scaling New Heights, and I guess the lightning lightning horns are going off back there. So, So 2010, desktop, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Right? When are you QBO, desktop, either or do you focus on one now?
We focus on QuickBooks Online. We made that decision in around 2015 to go strictly with QuickBooks Online.
Okay.
We have one client who is on QuickBooks desktop still,
yeah.
But we don't take any desktop clients anymore.
Okay. And then on the, what else? Let's actually a little bit more on that part of the business. What's in your tech stack? Do you say, hey, this is what I work with. We don't work with other apps, or is it more, hey, my clients who have this, we're gonna have to learn it. How do you go about that?
So interesting you bring that up, because that is part of saying that some of the ways in which I've said no to
that
win those premium clients, I know. So I narrowed my niche quite significantly. So it's not just Shopify sellers, it's Shopify sellers who use QuickBooks Online and who also use A2X as an integrator app.
Oh, wow.
So that is the only app that we work with our Shopify sellers as far as doing integrations.
Okay.
Between Shopify and QuickBooks Online. We do use other business apps, accounts payable, payroll, but we don't take clients if they're using other apps, just because e-commerce is fairly complex.
Okay.
And the integrations can be quite complex.
Gotcha. Okay. And so the training side of the business,
mm-hmm.
You started that when?
About 2018,
okay.
2019. Yep. Yeah.
And when were you one of our award winners? It's about that time.
2018.
Right? It's 18. Okay. I thought so.
The
you
confidence.
Said that's so funny. You said 18. I'm like, I think that was the year that she won
Atlanta.
Yes,
yeah, top 10. I was the first apologist.
Apologist, not apologist, but an apologist.
Yes. Yeah, so, and actually, that really helped me in. It propelled me, I think, in my confidence.
Great.
I think to realizing that I have a desire to educate our community, and then felt like that gave me the platform to start doing that.
Right, kind of some credibility, and even though it was already there, but you know, here's something third party that says, hey, this lady kind of knows what she's talking about.
Yeah, the recognition in the community.
Well, great. I'm glad we could be part of that. So how does, and I'm not trying to get into dollar details about that, I don't care about that, but the how does your time split between those two businesses? Because even just doing what we're doing here, right, it's not, you know, if we get 15 minutes out of this, it wasn't a 15-minute operation.
Sure.
Right? So yeah. How do you divide your time?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've worked very hard to systematize the service side of the business to the point that I now only spend 10% on client work.
Oh, wow.
In that business. I do spend time maybe 30% doing sales and marketing, which is an area that I love. I didn't know that I would love it, but I do. And I spend the rest of my time either working on developing courses, taking care of my community, doing YouTube videos, or running the service business, mentoring my employees and right. helping them to succeed.
Okay. And then the training business, tell us a little bit more about that. Does it have a separate name?
Yeah, so the my online academy is called 5MB Academy.
Like F-I-V-E?
Number five,
okay.
M as in mother, B as in boy, so 5MB, or 5 million bucks if you want.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, 5MB Academy, so it's on 5mbacademy.com.
And I'm going to find what when I go there?
You'll see a collection of either free courses or paid courses. And most of my courses are geared toward virtual bookkeepers who already have bookkeeping training but want to systematize their business. They want to take advantage of proven systems that can help them be either more productive or more profitable.
Okay. Do you get into the tech stack of the system, or is it more about you just need to make sure you find this type of product or that type of product, or are you specifying?
I talk about some of the apps that I like, mm-hmm. but I leave it up to them really to decide.
Right.
Because everybody's business is different and their needs are different.
Sure. I met with, do you know Deb Deffer with
yes.
BDO? So mm-hmm. I did this with her yesterday. We recorded a podcast and she said, well, you know, if I was a smaller firm, so my question to her really was about, you know, should the smaller firms be concerned? I mean, you're BDO, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
$2 billion business. And I can't remember how we got around to it, but basically the question was something along the lines of, how does a firm go and find the apps, right? And she said, well, if it was me, I would find out what BDO was using and start there. Because I assure you, it's been well vetted.
Sure.
Right? And like, that's actually probably one of the smartest things I've ever heard, right? I mean, I love going to a trade show, and I love walking the floor, and that's our customers out there. But BDO's done the legal work. They've done the technical due diligence.
Yeah.
Might not be a bad place to start. So the training, you said there's free, there's paid. Is the paid just one-off courses, or do I join a membership, or?
They're one-off courses.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're priced, what are the kind of the price points?
They start at about $497 up to about $1,500.
Okay. All right, so I'm not going there for 25 bucks.
No. I mean, and really the impact is, I would say, commensurate with what you pay for.
Okay.
Because I give a lot of free content away in my YouTube channel, through the free courses, in my Facebook group. And I think there are people who don't, you know, they don't buy any of my courses and still get a lot of impact from the things that they learn.
Right.
But of course, there are people who they need more help, they need more training. And I know, for example, my paid diagnostic review course, it will really pay for itself with the first diagnostic review that a bookkeeper does for a client.
Okay, so now you're a little advisory there, talking about diagnostics, right? That's one thing that, you know, the trainers and people have been talking for years, right? You got to get into advisory, you have to get into advisory.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like the uptake's not quite there like it should be, to me. Because I know there's a need, just like from our personal business, I know there's a need, right?
Because
we get focused on what we do. We do best, and that's why we need our accountants to help us kind of guide us and give us good guidance based on the information that's there.
Yeah.
So I love that you're training people about that. It is so needed. It seems, again, from my seat, I don't know everything for everybody. So talk to me. So when you said our courses are going to be $500 or more, so you had to confidently say no to $400 price point, sure. $100 price point, $25 price point, because there's a lot of that out there.
Yes.
And I'm sure they're all fine, good courses.
Yeah.
We dabbled in it. So what is the art of confidently saying no and winning premium clients? What does that mean to you?
I think it's really about having clarity into first the types of clients that you will work with, knowing who you will say yes to and who you will say no to, as well as the services that you will provide.
Okay.
And then even as I was talking about a pay diagnostic review, that you don't take on a project unless you have full clarity into the scope of that project, and even knowing that you can deliver on the promise that you give a client when you say, yes, I will take you on and clean up your books or get your books caught up to date, mm-hmm. or you know, whatever it is that you'll do for them.
Okay. And that and how long have you been practicing that?
You know, it's interesting because I think it's been an accumulation of making all of these changes, even niching down my business to, as I said, a very specific niche that I'm working with, and then realizing that those were all ways of saying no. I don't work with this type of specific client. I want to work with a client who my team is excited to work with, or a client who is responsive to us, a client that will show up. Sometimes, you know, a lot of them will say like, hey, I need help, but yet they're not showing up. Right. And so after I started to really, not necessarily feeling like I was saying the literal no to someone, but having some criteria for who do we want to work with, what do we want to do, and what do we want to be really, really good at, mm-hmm. then I realized that those were all ways of saying no, and it was leading to working with better quality clients because I could deliver a much more valuable outcome to them.
Great. And then, and quality isn't necessarily these are the people that can pay me the most. I mean, quality
right.
client is somebody like the kind of things you said, right? They're actually going to show up.
Yes.
They're going to be responsive. They're going to help me help them versus just fill my bank account.
Exactly. Because I think a lot of people think a premium client is somebody that we just charge a lot of money because and they're just going to pay it. But it's not about that. It's really about working with clients that we're excited to work with, who respect us, we respect them, who make it easy for us to work with them.
Right.
Because sometimes we in our industry, we sometimes will care more than the client cares, and we're trying to rescue them, but they're not letting us. Mm-hmm. And so a premium client is one that is letting us rescue them, who's working alongside with us to help them reach their goal.
Right, okay. So are there any, this, it's not a book, right? You don't have a book yet.
Not yet.
I might
write the book.
There we go. And you should. Why not, right? Because I the overall topic of it makes a lot of sense to me. When I hear confidently saying no, the first thing that comes to my mind is, I mean, and you've got to come from the position of strength, right?
Yes.
And because the confidence really comes from that position of strength, and it, I can see a challenge for, again, we're a small business, but I can see a challenge for, you know, a small bookkeeper or a small professional practice in making that commitment, because it's hard, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, you don't fit, you're not our new model. So I've got to tell you, I don't want your $500, $800,000 a month, but I have to make that up. And so,
yeah.
I mean, it takes a lot of confidence to be able to walk away from known entity, right? Known
absolutely
level of revenue.
Yeah.
And how much of that is from, well, have a decent enough bank account where you can afford to do it? I mean, to me, that's one of the first things that comes to mind. Well, I have to be able to afford to do it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of self-limiting, but it's also a reality. Still, there's bills to pay.
Yes. And there is that reality. And the way that I teach my students is that you may not be in a position to say no to everything. And I was in that position. So I said, I started it during the Great Recession.
Right.
You mean, really,
take we could take
whatever
right.
we yeah. could get. However, if you have clarity into who is an ideal client for you, which services do you want to provide, what's a better niche for you, then you can slowly start to say no to the more obvious types of situations or clients that you don't need to be working with, while still bringing in perhaps some clients that are less than ideal, but maybe not so bad of a fit, to where you're still leaving mental space and space in your practice to bring in clients that are more better suited
right.
for you. So it's a journey,
yeah.
I think.
Growth, yeah. It's not just like one day you're called on.
No.
You're fired.
Yeah.
I'm done with all of you.
But if we stay in that place of fear, that I'll take anything for any kind of money because I need it, and we don't have the clarity, we won't get there.
Right.
So it could be, you know, a 2-3 year journey, but as long as you know where you're going.
And you probably won't be as effective for any of your clients, right? Because you're not focused, you're kind of running from task to task and not really taking the time. I think we were talking about earlier about the advisory side of what the business should be.
Right.
Really helping the client. So
yeah.
It's not about, you know, matching up receipts. It needs to be a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And so do you have kind of a rule of thumb that you use in your business currently? I mean, you know, obviously it's e-commerce.
Mm-hmm.
So is there other things? You shared a couple, right? It's e-commerce, they have to be on A2X, and is it Shopify?
Yes.
Okay. And so are there other things that you look at? I don't think it's the right term, but markers, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah, so we actually, through the marketing that I do, started resonating a lot with newer sellers who are growing very fast. And in the e-commerce world, you can grow extremely fast as opposed to, say, a service-based business, because you have to scale a service-based business. But an e-commerce business, if you have the right team, and if your marketing works really well, I mean, they could scale extremely fast, like within 3 months, have very high growth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do very well with those kinds of sellers who are starting out and who need their book set up, their integration set up, and then sometimes they try it on their own, and so we're having to undo their mess.
Right.
And but there are some e-commerce sellers who they're doing, you know, 10 million plus in sales. We're not the right team for them.
Okay.
But there are others who
right.
do that.
Sure. yeah.
And right. it's important to also, a part of saying no is to build your network so that you can say no, but here's someone who can help you.
Right. Here's a much better fit for you. Right?
Yes.
For both of us. So any other points that you'd like to share on that? Again, I think winning the premium clients, there's not just one premium client, right? That's up to,
right.
you know, it's what I define as a premium client to me. It may be, maybe the single most important thing is they're not going to call me on a Saturday.
Sure.
And, right. I mean, whatever it is to me. And again, as a practitioner, I would imagine you've got to get in that mindset and really take the time to define what the premium client really is.
Yes.
Maybe build out a persona and say, you know, mm-hmm. this is what these are our clients. This is who we take. Is that kind of the same thing? It's more of a, maybe it's a 2-3 year process, maybe depending on your firm size, but how long did it take you to kind of really determine what your premium client is?
I think once I figured out that e-commerce was too broad of a niche and we narrowed it down to Shopify sellers, again, with very specific criteria even for that, once I understood that even though it's a very narrow niche, it's being very profitable.
Sure.
That's really when I realized that, okay, I just need to continue saying yes to that small number of clients, and it has continued to work very well.
That's awesome. I'm happy for you. So 2010 to 2008, 2010, like, okay, time for redefine myself.
Yeah.
2018, time to redefine again.
Yeah.
Here we are.
And many more in between there.
Right now.
Yeah.
Two big ones, we'll say two big spikes, right?
Yes.
And then 4 years later, things sound like things are going extremely well.
Yeah.
Do you, so you said 90% currently on the training is really where you spend your time?
Maybe 40%.
Maybe 40, okay.
Yeah, because I'm still doing sales and marketing for my service business.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah.
And is that, what does that look like? What is sales and marketing for services business?
I do YouTube videos. So okay. I'm on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel called 5 Minute Bookkeeping. Okay. So the 5MB Academy comes from 5 Minute Bookkeeping.
Okay. Or $5 million, whichever
or one. Or $5 million, yeah. And there you go. So that's the bulk of the marketing that I do is YouTube videos. Okay. And then we repurpose that content. We do blog posts, we do social media posts. I'm also running my Facebook group, 5 Minute Bookkeeping Community.
Okay.
But as far as marketing is, it's all coming from YouTube.
Okay. Anything on LinkedIn?
I don't do LinkedIn.
No.
Shopify sellers are not on LinkedIn.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
That I know of. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know your people, right? This is where you bring your clients up there. So why bother?
Yeah.
So of the social media ones, is there one that stands out? So you say YouTube is number one, right? Yeah. This has got to be there. And then what about the other? Like with Facebook, is the secret sauce with Facebook having a group and building the group out?
I would say as far as for my online courses and having an effect or a relationship with other bookkeepers, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, either have your own course or participate, not course, rather, have your own group mm-hmm. or participate in other groups for bookkeepers.
Gotcha.
And focus on giving value.
Yep.
Not self-promotion, because you'll probably get kicked out of the group anyway. So it's really about building relationships, and I would say have a niche, because if you have a niche and you let others know that's what your niche is, they will remember that.
Mm-hmm.
If you just talk about, I'm a bookkeeper for small business owners, nobody will remember it.
Right. That's interesting. Okay. Anything else you want to throw out here before we wrap up?
Like we said, I think saying no is a journey.
Yes.
It's about, like you said, finding that self-confidence, that it takes time to do that. It took me time to do that. And then realizing that we can say no, not necessarily in those words, but how we set up our businesses, our practices, the types of services that we do and don't do, the types of clients that we take on, having a full scope of work. Before taking on big projects.
Mm-hmm.
And it really comes from having clarity into, again, who you are, who's your ideal client, what do you want to do ultimately, and what's your superpower.
Right. That's fantastic. So there was one question that I like to ask. I usually ask it first, but I forgot it because
okay.
I didn't write it down. And so we'll close with it. It's a tough one.
Okay.
So there's going to be really a lot of brain power you have to use here. You might not be ready.
I'm nervous.
Who is your favorite cartoon character?
Oh my God.
I told you it's a hard one.
I'm going to date myself if I
Everybody's dated you. Themselves, and it's really funny.
Tweety Bird.
Tweety Bird. Actually, you're the second one to say Tweety Bird, actually. It's so funny. Out of probably in the past 10 days, I think I've asked as many people, probably 10 people, and 9 out of the 10 have been Looney Tunes characters.
Good. I think if we're all in that age group.
That's what I was going to say. It shows something about the age group, and it's funny. The one who did not say a Looney Tunes is a little bit younger. Bugs Bunny's mine. He's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
But somebody did say Speedy Gonzalez, and he's fantastic.
That too. Yeah, it's interesting because I grew up in Chile, so we watched all the cartoons in Spanish, so they had different names, and they sounded different. And,
oh, that's funny. And they had different names. Well, I guess it wouldn't be Bugs Bunny, right?
No. I don't even remember their names anymore. But I actually realized recently that, like, a lot of the names start with the same letter, Bugs Bunny and Porky Pig and whatever the other, Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse.
Yes.
It's like, oh, okay, I didn't realize that. That's
really fun. Okay. Well, there you heard it here first. If you move to Chile and you can watch your Looney Tunes with completely different named characters.
Yes.
So, Veronica, thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah.
And let's certainly reach out to, I'd love to have you reach out to us to see how we can just work together in the future on whatever might be out there.
Sounds great.
And certainly good luck in the future, what you're working on.
Thank you.
Thank you.